folks, if you're in the room, can you let those who are watching online today, can you just let them hear you? Let's welcome them also. So great to have you. I'm Pastor Eugene, and we missed you guys on behalf of Heidi and our team and staff. I want to just tell you how much we love you. We miss you so much. How many of you were not able to be here last week? You missed the first Sunday that we came back. I want to encourage you to go back and get the podcast. Heidi and I shared a little bit last week together, and we just welcomed everybody back home again, and it's good. And I shared last week, thank y'all for doing. I watched today as you guys came in, everybody kind of wear their masks. Get into your seat. If you got 6 feet, you can slip your mask off, and then we slip it back on as we leave. Just simply, we want to just do our part. And I just know we've lost family members from our church. We've lost people. People have gone on to heaven during this season, and we just want to just play our part. That's all. And so thank you for doing that. We so greatly appreciate it. And it's just so good to be back home again. And we want to do everything we can because in the name of Jesus, I'm saying this, we'll never have to shut the doors again. Can I get a good amen? Ever. In Jesus' name. If we get down to groups of 10, I'll just stay here all day. We come in 10 at a time. I'll preach to you and we'll just keep running you through. We'll do something. We'll figure it out. But we love you, and we're so grateful to be back together again with each and every one of you. And I'm even excited about 9 and 11 instead of 8, 9, 30, 11, 30. I'm even excited about that. Why? Because that gives us a little more time, which means I'm going to preach a long time today. I hadn't preached in a long time, so you just be ready. I hope you ain't got nowhere to be. So good to see you. One more time, just look at your neighbor over there and say, I miss you. Just go ahead and tell him. And we'll jump into the message today. Thank you, Victor. Victor, I'm going to call you back, and I'm going to close a little quicker than I normally would, but the closing is really long. So, okay. All right. So, again, I want to encourage you to get last week's message, and hopefully it'll bring a little bit of comfort to your heart. I mean, it's been a strange season. None of us have ever been where we're at. So, most every decision you make during these kinds of times, even as a pastor leading the church, and Pastor Jacob and I, our senior pastor, have had this conversation many times. If you open, there's folks that get upset about that. You close, there's people that get upset about that. It really didn't matter what decision you made. You're going to upset someone. And so get over it in Jesus' name. Grace everybody. Can I get an amen? Just grace. I mean, you go, wow. And I want to just recap just a little bit from last week. If you did miss, we talked about really just keeping your eyes on the shepherd during this season. It's easy to get your eyes off what William was praying today, to get your eyes off shepherd. If you listen to Fox News too much, you'll be full of fear. If you tune into CNN too often, you're going to be anxious and full of anxiety. If you stay on Facebook too much, you're going to be angry. If you stay on Twitter too long, you're going to get tweaked. Can I get an amen from this congregation? Oh, I know, you call me. I talk to you. Isn't it crazy we could walk into the house of God and somebody sitting on this side could be mad at somebody on that side because they saw something that they posted, then they posted something who made somebody else mad. It is a world we live in. We were walking down, Heidi and I were driving down the road the other day, we were listening to the radio, and this guy said, I wish we could get rid of social media. He said the bar rooms, used to be the social media of its day. And he said, I wish we could get rid of social media and go back to the bar room. And I said, I'll take that deal. in Jesus' name. Anyway, I want you to remember that, listen to me, bad news sells. Good news does not sell. Bad news sells. So when you turn on the TV, all you're going to get is the bad news. You're just going to get bad news. Stay tuned. I'm going to tell you what's happening next. Come back. It's bad news. Isn't it amazing? That's why they call the gospel the good news. So you come here today to get the good news. Amen. I want to just give you this passage of scripture. You ought to just read it every day during the season that we're in. It's in the book of Philippians, and I'll just put it on the board for you. And if I know we're out of practice because we haven't been together for about 6 months. And don't forget, when it gets to the yellow, you're supposed to read that with me. Ready? Philippians 4, 6 and 9 says, Don't worry about anything, but instead, what? Pray about everything. Tell God your needs. Don't forget to thank Him for the answer. Lord, will you thank you for the answer. And if you do this, you're going to experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. And now, brothers, as I close this letter, the apostle wrote, let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely. Dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about it. Keep putting into practice all that you learned from me and saw me doing, and the peace, God of peace, will what? Will be with you. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Well, we've been through some stuff. We've gone through COVID-19, and we're still in the middle of that, the physical, the emotional, the economics of COVID-19. We've watched our news channels. We've watched injustice. We've watched the unrest, which can bring fear, anger, and anxiety. Then recently, we've gone through Hurricane Laura. And then we also are about, I don't know, and William mentioned it, we pray for that storm to go down. We've got another one coming out in the Gulf now. And then we have an upcoming election. And I wanted to preach the Sunday that we were going to, our last Sunday, we preached our last Sunday, and then there was the decision we made to close the doors for a season. I was going to preach this message. I wanted to preach it as far away from the election as I possibly could, and then we closed. And so I even called Pastor Jacob on this one, which I don't normally do. I said, Pastor Jacob, I want to share with you the message I want to preach to the congregation, but I want to make sure you're covering me on this because I'm about to make everybody mad. You're welcome. I'm going to preach truth. I'm a pastor. My job on behalf of Jesus is to help shepherd you. And I'm going to do my role today. And sometimes that can upset people. Okay, everybody look right here. I don't really care. No, I care more about the smile of God than I do the smile of people. And the truth can hurt. So I want to share something with you. I'm gonna ask you to come up higher. And as I raise my stool higher, I'm going to ask, I know I'm about to step into shark-infested waters. Pray for me. Just throw one up for me right now. Just say, Lord, be with Pastor you. I'm about to throw in, and the water is chummed, and the sharks are swimming, and this is like Shark Week. I'm about to dive in. And I want to answer two questions today. I want to answer this question: who does Pastor Eugene support in the upcoming election? I'm going to answer that. And then I want to answer the more important question: who is God going to support in the upcoming election? Why don't we just close in prayer and I'll finish this next week? So today's message is entitled, Whose Side Are You On? Say it with me. Whose side are you on? Now let me just give you a little pretext, because there is a word that we use sometimes. We'll say God is sovereign. And I want to make sure I answer that so you have a good understanding of what that actually means. God is sovereign. And I'll give you, and I'll read some scripture for you here in just a second. God is sovereign. That means he is the ruler. It means he is supreme authority. There's not even a close second to God. He's in a class all by himself. He has freedom from all external controls. He is autonomous. He does what he wishes. He does it when he wants to. He's the leader. He is the boss. He is, in fact, I love this about someone says, all sovereignty really means is that God has the last word. So when that just simply means that when you think it's over, it isn't over until God says it's over. Things aren't dead unless God says it's dead. Things aren't finished unless God says it is finished. It just simply means he has no external controls on him. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what I say. God is in control. In fact, let me read the scripture. Psalms 135:6 says this, the Lord does, read it with me, whatever pleases him throughout all heaven and earth, on all the seas and in their depths. Isaiah 46:10 would say, only I, the Lord speaking, only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do. He's sovereign. Watch Isaiah 55:8-9 says this, for my thoughts, Lord speaking, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Psalms 22:8 says, the royal power belongs to the Lord, and he rules what? Not just a nation, he rules all nations. I love what the psalmist wrote. It said that Jesus sits at the right hand of God, and the earth is his footstool. He does whatever he wants. He does whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And so it just means, and so what is it saying to us? Here's two things that I do know, that God has a purpose, say that with me, a purpose, and a plan. He always does. He has a purpose and a plan to advance his kingdom and to receive the glory. God has a purpose, say purpose. God's got a purpose and a plan to advance his kingdom and so that he can receive the glory. It's what he's concerned about. He rules the nations, the nation, not just a nation. And as Christians, we have the opportunity. God invites us to participate in this purpose and in this plan. You don't have to take that opportunity. Some won't. But he's going to give you an opportunity to be a part of his purpose and his plan to advance his kingdom and to advance his kingdom so that he receives the glory. And so here we are, and we're living now in a culture. It's very toxic. It's always going to ask you to choose sides, no matter what. You can't. We live in such a toxic culture that you can't even say anything nice about anybody anymore without offending somebody else. Did you just hear what I said? You can't even be kind. Watch, I'll give you, I told Heidi, I said, I bet I made some people mad last week. What did he do last week? I simply said something like this. You know what? The pandemic, it's tough to be a leader during the season, whether you're of a church or you're a governor. And I said, I think the governor of our state has done a good job leading through the pandemic. He's played it, in my opinion, right down the middle, not left or right, right down the middle, trying to just walk the waters. And I said he did a good job. I said, I bet that made somebody mad. You can't even say it's the culture in which we live in. Mask or no mask. How many of you know I said last week, we're all on the road to Damascus. Can I get an amen from the congregation? Nobody likes them. Nobody. Are you a liberal or are you a conservative? Are you a Republican or are you a Democrat? Whose side are you on? Maybe the division that we're seeing in our streets is simply because it's a reflection of the division that is in God's house. Listen, you want peace and unity out there? You'll never get peace and unity out there until there is peace and unity in God's house. Watch this. One of the last prayers of Jesus, we get an opportunity. This is not the Lord's, you know, our Father who art in heaven. This is not that one, the sample prayer. We actually get this in John 17. We actually get to go into a prayer meeting that Jesus is having. I mean, he's praying to God, and we all get to listen to his prayer meeting. And he starts off by saying, God, you and I are one. Thank you for the disciples, the apostles that you've given me. I haven't lost any of them but one. And the one I lost was for the purposes of God. What is that saying? It means even those who raise up that don't do the right thing, God, because God is sovereign, he'll still take the one who didn't do the right thing and turn the evil around for good so the purposes of God can still be fulfilled, whether you're Pharaoh, the good one, or Pharaoh, the bad one. He still raises one up and takes one down. He does whatever he wishes because he's sovereign, because it isn't over until he says it's over, and it isn't bad until he turns it around and made it good. He is sovereign. He is God. And so he see, and then God's going to, he's going to pray for you. In John 17, he's going to mention your name. Watch what he says. He goes on to write in verse 20. He says, Jesus is praying. Lord, I'm not just praying for these alone, my disciples, but I'm also praying for the future believer. Who's that? It's you. Lord, now I'm praying for the future believer. I'm praying for our Savior's church. I'm praying for our Savior's church, the Opelousas Campus Expression. I'm praying for them who will come to, because of the testimony of these, my prayer for all of them is that they will be of one and mind. Just as you and I are, Father, that just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us and the world will believe you sent me. He's saying that the unity of the believers will be a sign to the world that's praying for peace and unity, that this will be the sign that the world needs to know that God is really who he said he was. Woo. That means you got to fight for it. That means you got to shut up sometimes. How many of you are married? How many of you know every thought that comes to your mind doesn't need to come out of your mouth? Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. No, don't say it. Don't say it. I know you want to say it, but don't say it. Watch this. I have given them the glory you gave me, the glorious unity of being one as we are. Unity. Now, let me talk to you about unity. In the context of the upcoming election that is coming. Y'all know the presidential election's not the only one that you're voting for. You do know that, right? Watch this. Let's at least come to a place of unity in this room. Can we do that? Can we rise above politics? You know it's a sport, right? You do know people are trying to win, right? At any cost, which means they'll say things that they don't mean. So let's rise above that, people of God, and let's look at things that we believe we should walk in unity in. I asked the question, one of my brothers, we were talking one day, and we probably historically have not voted always for the same person. And I simply asked this question. Hey, if you vote for one guy and I vote for the other, does that mean we can't walk together? Would we allow that to separate our relationship? Are you kidding me? I think we can agree on four tenets. In fact, let me say it this way. I think if you don't agree with what I'm about to say with you, you might want to check your heart because Jesus may not really live inside of you. Let me say it again. What I'm about to share with you, the four things, if you don't agree with these four things, you do not have a problem with me, you have a problem with God. Number one, I believe we should be pro-life. You don't have to clap. That there are babies in wombs that we ought to stand for that baby in a womb. We've preached it, talked about it, you know it. Number two, we ought to be about and stand for the sanctity of marriage, marriage between a man and a woman. I don't make the rules. I'm just here to tell you what the rules are. And we've preached it loud and proud. Number three. We ought to be about the poor and look after the poor among us. Now, watch this. Let me take you to Psalms 82, 3 and 4. The scripture tells us to defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Can I get an amen? I mean, there are things that you look in our society and our culture and you look at and you go, man, we should stand up for. And let me just tell you something. It is true. This is true. There are two justice systems. It's not always black and white. The poor do not get what the rich get. I'll give you one better than that. The non-politicians don't get what the politicians get. They make laws that they don't have to live by. And we should be about defending, standing up for the oppressed, the poor among us. It's part of our responsibility as believers in Jesus. Can I get an amen? I could go all day with you on the political parties. One is hyper-individualism. We're American. We pull ourselves over our bootstraps. We put up our own, and you make it. If you make it, you do it on your own. And then the other side is way extreme. And then the other side is, no. Let's gather everybody. We're all dependent on one another. And both of them are two extremes all the way to the end. And so you're trying to choose sides on something that I don't think is necessarily biblical, either one of them. Have I made you mad yet? It's coming. Number four, we should be about justice and equality, no matter who you are or where you come from. It ought to all be the same. The rules ought to apply the same to every single person on the face of the earth, in Jesus' name. Watch this. Leviticus 19 and 15 says, do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Watch this. I want to give you a homework assignment. Go home and read the book of Amos in the Old Testament. We would call him a minor prophet, but I don't believe there is a prophet. You know, we call major prophets minor prophets in the Old Testament, but minor prophet. He wasn't really a prophet. He's a farmer who had a word from God. And the culture that he comes and speak against is the people of God. He comes to Israel to say with them, you're not doing what God wants you to do. And what were they doing? They were having two sets of rules. One rule for the religious and one rules for non-religious. They weren't taking care of the poor and the oppressed. Do you know what God even says? He looked, hey, when you build your field or you work your field, I want you to leave the corners of it. I don't even want you to harvest those because the poor should be able to come into your field and eat from the corners of your field. He said, I want you to plant for 6 years and I don't want you to reap or harvest for seven. I don't want you to plant or harvest for the seventh year because on the seventh year, let the second-hand crop grow and let the poor among you come and eat from it. Okay, everybody check it with me. Watch what Amos says. This is so convicting. I hate your show and pretense. Your hypocrisy of honoring God with your religious feast and your solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and thank offerings. I will not look at your offerings of peace. Away with your hymns of praise. They are mere noise in my ears. I will not listen to your music, no matter how lovely it is. Because what I want to see is a mighty flood of justice and doing what's right. What is he saying? You come into the house and you lift your hand and you say, Waymaker, miracle worker. And then you walk out. We walk out. And we changed the channel. The George Floyd thing, this is just my opinion. I think it happened during COVID for a reason because God is sovereign because there was nothing else to look at. No football, nothing to distract us. We had to see it over and over and over and over. And God's saying to us, I'm not worried about what he's saying out there. Look at me. You'll never get justice without righteousness because they come hand in hand. They're actually two in one. They're actually both. You can say, no justice, no peace. And you can say, no justice, no righteousness, no peace. To do what's right. Now watch with this. You said four things, Pastor Yu, and I'm cool with all four things. You cool with it? Yeah. I mean, the Bible says it. Watch this. Two of those, abortion and marriage, are red issues, Republican issues. They own it. Three and four, injustice, looking after the poor, looking after people who have been oppressed. The immigrant among us are democratic issues. They're trying to divide you. No, four. Oh, well, there's two. Two are more important. Which two is the most important? Sin is sin. We're worried about the womb. I know, but we're not worried. Oh, it should be womb to tomb. We should be looking after mankind. Womb to tomb. Can we agree with that? Go, no matter what it is. Victor's going to help me, but it's going to take me a moment. The Republicans own the pro-life issue and the sanctity of marriage. They own that issue. The Democrats own the issues of poor, injustice, and equality or inequality. And they're both entrenched on their sides, calling out the logs in each other's eyes. And so they divide us. whose side are you on? I love the answer Pastor Nick gave when someone asked him, Pastor Nick, are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? And he answered, which issue? Golly, it's tough, isn't it? I mean, because I grew up in a household. By the way, 86% of those who grew up one way and however that household voted ends up voting exactly the same way as the other. In other words, we can row, 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 row. Man, it's tough, isn't it? Let me show you about the sovereignty of God. And it may answer the question. Whose side are you on, Pastor Yu? You're a Republican, you're a Democrat. Whose side is God on? He is sovereign. He rules the nations. We play in checkers. And he's playing chess. We looking at the next one, November. He's looking at 1,000 of them. We can't see past today. And he's 1,000 generations ahead of us. He is God. Watch this. Many of you have heard of Joshua. Right, in the Bible, Joshua. Joshua was with Moses, who led Israel out of Egypt. Was one of the two spies that went into the promised land. And now he's coming back, gave the good report. And now, of course, Moses has died and Joshua is now the commander of Israel. And he's going to lead Israel into the promised land. God's not going to just give it to him. He wants them to work for it. Did you hear what I said? He wants to work for it. You see, no, you're going to have to take it. You're going to have to conquer it. And Joshua is going to go, and he's getting ready for the first place that they're to conquer, which happens to be the most difficult place. It's a place called Jericho. The scripture describes it. It's a city that has walls so high and so wide that they can have chariot races on top of the wall around the city. It was thought to be untakeable, impenetrable. And so Joshua's going to get his first look at Jericho, and he's coming to see it, and we find it, and we pick it up in the book of Joshua. By the way, he just earlier, chapter before, circumcised all the men. Not a good day. And all the men said, yeah. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or against us? In other words, whose side are you on? Are you with us? Who's us? I come from the lineage of Abraham, who God made a covenant with, that one day his descendants would outnumber the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. I come from Isaac, where the promise Abraham was. Isaac came when they were old. Isaac, Jacob. Jacob, who had 12 sons, the children of Israel. I come from God's people. That's where I come from. I come from God. Are you with us or are you against us? Are you for me or are you against me? Because let me just tell you my lineage, where I come from. I was with Moses when he brought us out parted the Red Sea, manna from heaven, water from rock. I was there when the Ten Commandments came down. I was one of the two spies that went in to came back with the good report why 10 said we couldn't take the land. I'm the commander of Israel. I'm God's man. Whose side are you on? Are you with us or are you with Jericho? I want to show you the next verse because that man answers. Neither. But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. That wasn't just a man. Was it an angel? No, we know that in the Old Testament, when an angel shows up and says things like a commander of the Lord's army, that is the, what you're going to find, it is actually going to be Jesus himself showing up in the Old Testament with his sword drawn to the man of God from Israel who comes from the lineage of Abraham, who's the father of all of our faith. When he says to him, are you with us? Are you with Jericho? Jesus says, I'm with neither. Neither. No, you don't get to see. I go to Our Savior's Church. My name is Pastor Eugene. I preach to people. I read the Bible. I hear God speak to me, and I try to obey most every time. Oh, quit acting like you obey every time. Surely you're with me. I'm with neither. And you go, He's with neither. God is not a Republican. God is not a Democrat. He has a purpose and a plan to advance his kingdom and to get the glory. He lifts one leader up, he takes another leader down. In fact, the scripture says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it whichever way he wants to turn it. He is the king, he is the Lord. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega. He is the beginning, he is the end. You're looking at the next election, he knows the thousand elections. He knows it all already. You're looking at the next move, he's 10,000 moves ahead of you to advance his kingdom and his purposes. Pastor Eugene, are you a Republican or a Democrat? I'm neither, I'm a kingdom independent. Oh, he's made me mad. Look at me. I know we've been taught this way. Oh, we're in it because we were taught that way. If this happens, then let me. If the Democrats get in, the world is going. Four more years of the Republicans. Oh, hell's going. My God is bigger. He rules nations. He's not. He got it. And you go, then what do we do then? I think what Joshua did. Can we put that verse back up? Watch what Joshua does. Can we put that last verse back up, guys? Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what do I do, Lord? What do I do? That's a good start, isn't it? Maybe we ought to turn that TV off and just get on our knees a while and just go, God, it's in your hands. It's in your hands. I'm going to go do my part. I'm going to vote. I should vote. You should vote. Lord, who Who you want me to vote for? I'll listen. I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you wish. I'll do whatever. I'll participate. But can I promise you, the day after the election, when they stay up all night and they count it all up and they tell you who won, if the Republicans win, I'm going to lift my hand and go, thank you, Jesus. And if the Democrats win, I'm going to lift my hands and say, thank you, Jesus, because I know you're working all things out for the glory of God to advance your kingdom and your purposes. You are bigger than me. You're bigger than Republicans or Democrats. You don't rule just this. You rule the nations, all of them, and you're working it all out for your glory. Look at me right here. You go, you Pastor, you can't mean that. Oh, I do. He can raise up one Pharaoh that gives Joseph favor, and he can raise up another Pharaoh that enslaves all of Egypt, because he was already working it all the way out to Joshua some 700, 600 years later. He was already working it out. He was always working the moves out. Look at me. Winky Prattney 101, one of my old heroes, used to say, God will give America the leader it deserves. Can you just drop your labels? Whose side's God's on? Neither. He is a kingdom independent. Neither side totally represents who God is. 8 years ago, my box, I checked one of those boxes years and years ago when I became a registered voter. Heidi and I both did. Because it was my heritage. 8 years ago, we dechecked it. We didn't switch sides. Go, which box did you check? They didn't have a box for kingdom independent. So I just left them blank. You Republican or Democrat? Which issue? Which issue? I will put my hope in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You want to make America great again? Let's get God back on the throne of our own lives again. Let's make God great. I'm not worried about making America great. I'm worried about making God great again. It's the what we're all looking for in that. Father, would you forgive us? Would you forgive us for putting our hope and trust in other things other than you? It's not even fair. It's not even fair to the president and the presidential candidates. It's not even fair to them to put that on them. They're mere men. We put our hope and trust in you. Lord, would you send revival to our nation again? We need it. We desperately need it, Jesus. The answer is not in the White House. The answer is not in who's this next election. The answer is us turning our hearts towards you. Forgive us for putting our hope and trust in other things, for making idols. It's idolatry. Forgive us of our sin, Father. We repent. Father, we've given up power, influence. Everybody look right here at me. Look right here. Look at me. Take the jersey off. We're not even supposed to have a jersey on. We're God's representation on this earth. We're supposed to have the black and white stripes on with the rule book in our hand, throwing flags when either side gets out of the way of God. We ought to be saying to one side, abortion is wrong. We ought to be saying to the other side, you need to be concerned about the poor and the oppressed, and it should be justice for all, equal across the board. We ought to be calling balls and strikes on both sides. We shouldn't be in the middle. We'll sell our soul. And let me tell you something, both sides, listen to me. They will take both of you for granted. Oh, they'll promise you all kinds of things and not deliver. I love you. I'm supposed to tell you these things. I'm your pastor. Do you receive this? Let's walk out here and go, can I still be a Republican, Pastor Yu? Sure. Just be light. Just be red light. Kind of pinkish. Can I still be a Democrat, Pastor Yu? Sure. Just kind of be baby blue. And say, well, when you do right, I'll support you. When you do wrong, I'll stand in front of you. Hold the book up like that and throw the flag when you just call out. We put our trust in you, Jesus. We put our trust in you. We give you this election. We lay on our face before you. We ask, Father, what do? Speak to us, Jesus. Speak to us, Jesus. Father, may justice roll down to our nation again. May justice come down. May justice come down. May justice come down. May justice come down. The poor among us, Father. Father, may we, Father, stand for the sanctity of marriage. Father, may we stand, Father, for the babies in wombs. Forgive us, God. Forgive us from womb to tomb. Jesus, we ask that you would forgive our nation. Forgive us. Forgive us for putting our trust and faith in something else other than you. Have mercy on us, Father. Don't give us what we do deserve. Have mercy on our nation, God. Have mercy on our nation. Send revival, a renewal of hearts. Every head bowed and every head closed. And maybe you're here today. Maybe your heart is not right with God. Jesus has not been the Lord of your life. You may not have meant to, but you've been putting other things ahead of God. We've been thinking about advancing parties instead of advancing kingdom. Maybe today you get right with God. Surrender your heart to Jesus. He's after you. He loves you. Maybe today's your day to surrender your heart to Jesus. Make him the Lord of your life, the boss. Let him be the sovereign God of your life. I want to pray for you. If that's you today, would you say, Pastor, that's me? Would you slip your hand up all over this room? Christians, are you praying? Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Slip it up right now. We'll just pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sin. I'm a sinner. And I'm sorry. And I repent from my sin. And I want to follow you. I'm going to make you the boss of my life. Come into my heart and be my Lord. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.